Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to Tuesday night. I like that. I had to get it right. You know, I just got off the plane, so I'm trying to figure out. I got to find myself. Welcome to Tuesday night ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Hello, Facebook. Hello, Periscope. Hello, Blog Talk Radio. I'm glad you joined me, and I'm glad to join you. We had a grand time last week. We broadcasted from Chicago and Christ Family Network, and now I'm back on my own set. I guess you can recognize that. And I'm glad to be here. I'm excited about what God wants to say tonight. God has rich truths for you. You know, and before God, I want to say again, thank you all for your encouragement. You know, sometimes it is just the most amazing thing to realize that after all of the years of study and labor that you get such encouragement. You all are literally, when I say encouraging, there are sometimes I just get all excited, you know, because I do read my Facebook and my Twitter. I read it because then I sit down in my favorite chair and then I look at it as I'm watching television I guess I'm watching television because after it's over. You know, when you write as much as I write, you probably just, you know. And so, hallelujah. But I thank you for that. I thank you for your encouragement, your motivation. You all have become a motivational force for me, and your motivation means a lot. So I want to tell you again, thank you. What I need you to do, though, we need to get those numbers up because I've got big plans, and those big plans include you. Isn't that wonderful? You are part of the plan. And so let's get those numbers up. So before we get started tonight, share. Tell everybody I'm here, native back from Illinois, safe and sound, and ready to go with discipling apostolic Christians. So tell everyone, share. If you have your school, send it out to your students and send it out to your trainees and your network and your network leaders, because we have some rich stuff to share tonight. Now, you know, I've been on this predestination journey, and no, we're not going to go flat predestination tonight, but I do want to keep that concept in your mind. When I was teaching in Joliet, and I do thank Apostle Nona Parker and Antioch Christian Assembly in Joliet, Illinois, for hosting me so well and for all of you all that came out. I mean, it was an amazing thing. I told her, I said, you know what was so wonderful was that the teaching that I did there, I had never done before. So I said, when you mark it, you can say, first taught Antioch Christian Assembly in Joliet, Illinois. And they were stunned. I said, no one has ever heard this before. No one anywhere in the planet, because I designed it over the last month or so, the last 2 weeks or so. And so we'll be reteaching it from time to time. Remember now, I want to say this before I do roll call. If you want prophetic ed in your area and you are a decision-making leader, I have to say that. If you are a decision-making leader in your area, or if you are a gatherer and you have something that you do regularly, then let us know. Because the course that I just taught, God's Prophecy Timeline, was amazing. I'm sure some of you had an opportunity to read the post on Facebook and the feedback online. It was amazing because it talk about setting captives free. I told you before I lay on the floor and wrestle with the devil, I'm an educator. I'm going to educate them all. And so people got free, they got healed, they got delivered, they got answers, because many of you are in captivity to naivety. And sometimes people don't realize that naivety is in itself a form of reliable and subtle captivity. Just not knowing, just not being exposed, just not being aware. Hallelujah. So we had a grand time and we had a blast. Some of you all will be following me going forward in the future. Our next big move is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, where we're taking prophetic ed there. And I am doing something special. When we get closer to the date, I'll tell you. Now, I know a lot of you feel, and Jacksonville will not be Periscope. I'm going to tell you right now, So you can don't even look for it. We might give you some lobby shots. We're in the lobby. Might give you a couple of hallelujah hand waves, but the sessions will not be Periscope. So you need to plan to press your one. Hallelujah. So that's important. But when we get closer to it, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. God has something very hot planned for you. And, you know, just like the folks thought that you thought you didn't know we were going to do the whole thing in Joliet, don't miss out. If you are, now I want to tell you who should really press their way. If you're a bona fide prophet, if you're a prophet in making, or if you're someone that God uses in high spiritual things, you want to make it. If you are a dreamer of dreams, if you're a seer, you want to press your way. If you are a prophetic or an apostolic educator, press your way. If you are the founder and leader of an apostolic prophetic network, press your way. If you are in a prophetic church and your pastor's prophet, press your way. And here's a special group. If you wish you were in a prophetic church and you need to hear from God, press your way. Now, why did I say that? I want to go on record to say I'm not the one that has a distinction between, you know, the spirit-filled and the prophetic, the apostolic, and the charismatic churches and the denominations. I don't bash denominations. I really think, and I'll tell you why, because God said to me one day, he said, but they stay around. So you all can talk all you want, but they stay around. And he said, and I've relied on them for hundreds of years. So I don't bash them. I pray for them. I pray that the Holy Spirit comes alive and a lot more of them. I pray that the windows, they'll let God open the heavens over them to speak. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ himself told me, he said, no, I rely on them. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need to go to the next level. It doesn't mean you don't need to go, you know, and try to be where you can hear God, because prophets don't tend to do well in those areas, in those churches. That's not a universal statement. That's just a frequent occurrence. They don't tend to do very well, but I know that there are quite a few that are coming online with what God is doing today, and we need to celebrate that, and you need to encourage them. So I don't do that. You don't hear me say those kinds of statements. I don't do that. I was raised a Baptist girl, to be honest with you, and I can't tell you I knew what that meant. I didn't even know Jesus. I didn't know if he spelled him, if he was alive or not, whatever. I just knew that he had a birthday, and I got some gifts, and so that was wonderful. But I want to say to you, when you're in a church that doesn't allow the prophetic, you cannot hear God because God is muffled. It's like being in a wonderful house with well-to-do parents and no communication devices, no way to get in touch with the outside world, and no way for the outside world to get anything to you. So many people in those churches need a prophetic ed. You need to have conferences and things like that in your area to hear from God, because some of the things you're praying about, God can't answer you because you all are on two different channels. You know, God is on this eternal thing through the prophetic and apostolic, because that's how he does it, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then you're in the wonderful doctrines and sermons and love messages in your church. You can't hear God. And you've got to be able to hear God when your life, before your life goes in the toilet. Many times people don't even know why God didn't answer, and they're so unaware that they're like, God sent the answer, it's just knocking on the door. It's kind of like not being able to get a message, a package to your door. You know, you had a snowstorm, they got some construction outside, and nothing comes in. So you need that. We need that. You need the fullness of the Godhead. But nothing is worse than shutting off the now voice of God and releasing the now trends of the world in its place. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Some of you all need to know why God didn't heal you, why God didn't do this with your family, why he didn't whatever, and he was trying to deal with you and give you a wisdom to make it happen, because not all God's answers are yay and nay. When we start talking Thursday, we're going to talk about how God speaks, because sometimes people don't understand how to know God is talking, because we think it's yay and nay. That's not it. God has, hey, guess what? He's a real smart guy. He can do whole sentences and a few big words. Every now and then he throws a couple punctuations in there too, like comma, period, dot, colon, exclamation, parentheses, quotes. So I want you to understand this is an important thing that we do here. Those of you who are tuning in every week, this is important because this might be how you hear God. I know that from time to time I get into these sessions and God will give me a prophecy. He'll just drop that word on me for somebody because he knows that's the only way he can get to your ears. And when you're in a church like that, God cannot get to your ears. Oh, that was good. Was that good? That was sugar pie good. You know, that was sugar honey man good. You know he's a sugar. You know, and baby, we sugared him up in Joliet. We sugared that man up so much, I was like, oh, my goodness. He should have been glazed. We just glazed him.
Yes.
You know, we just gave him that sweet glaze. We just glazed up the Lord. We sugared him up, honey. We praised him. We called him honey man. Baby man, you better know the great I am. All right. Hot mess. Yes, we did. Oh, we did. We sugar him up,
oh, yeah.
Right? And then we went back into old time. We went back to old Jesus. You know that old stuff before we got so cool. We didn't call him by name.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. See, we don't. I'm gonna call the name of Jesus all the time because it is the name above every name. But if Jesus' name was the one name above every name, that would be enough. But he's not only the name above every name, but God has given him every name. I don't know about Jesus. You know, you talk about Jesus, and you don't even know that's a name. Because he is the great I am. He's the Lord. So we sugared him up until Sunday morning. We went plumb crazy in the Holy Ghost. And then we talked about, hallelujah, you know, that good old, you know, those good old Baptists. I told you I was a Baptist girl. Yes, I was. I was in the choir. I sang. I was one of the lead singers. I became a lead singer at 13. I mean, it was wonderful. And we started going back to that one. He's sweet, I know. Come on, y'all old saints. I know them millennials don't know about that little tune, but I want to talk about he's sweet, I know. Baby, we went crazy over there because we found out he's a sugar pie of Jesus. He's sweet, I know. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting crazy again. But let me tell you. And then we said, but I found a Savior. And we all went around and said, this is how we did. You're going to get a little taste. Just a little taste. I said, but I found and said, we went and got ourselves a Savior. When hell was knocking at the door, we went and got a Savior. And I said, all right, everybody, let's just say, I went and got myself a Savior. I got me a Savior. I got me a God. When they gave me a bad report, I went and got myself a Savior. When they told me I wasn't going to leave, I went and got myself. I got me a Savior. Baby, I found me one. I'm telling you, we glazed him up. Honey, we was all behind. We just sugared that whole thing. We sugared up the throne. Yes, we did, because he's a God. Amen. He's a sugar pie Jesus, and I love him. And I'm telling you, baby, they were all on Facebook. I'm like, guess what? I got this morning. I got me a Savior. Did you come and get you a Savior? Are you a child of the Most High God? Is Jesus Christ riding on the inside of you, or is he hovering over your head trying to save your soul? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I got it. And my sugar came early.
Well, you said we went in.
Yes, we did. We broke down the door and rushed in. We inrushed the Holy Ghost. Every now and then, you got to rush in on God, you know, because sometimes your job makes you tired and you whatever. But I'm telling you, I don't know who you are today, but you need to get saved today. Now, I don't mean this in one of those crazy kind of, oh, what if you die tonight? There are times that you just need to get saved because that window of salvation can close and you're 15 more years in that hell you live in it. Let me tell you something. It's not only about dying. It's not only about whether or not he's going to give you some money for clothes. Come on, you already got some money, got a job, got some clothes. But there's a window. You know, the Bible said today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, I don't do this a lot. My sheep will tell you, but I'm going to tell you that whoever you are, this is the day for you to drop to your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand. If I mean anything to you, Jesus Christ, save my soul to death. That's all. I said that. You know, I was in my room when I got saved, 1981, March 1981. And I mean, up until that point, I was a nervous wreck. I was on pills, tranquilizers, drugs for this, drugs for that. I smoked 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. I had rage coming up and down. I was having nervous, everything, meltdown. We were losing everything. I was losing my house. I was losing everything. And I want you to know, I sat in my chair, and I said, if I'm your child, tell me. I went to my room. I will never forget it. I didn't know about no Holy Ghost. Nobody talked to me. I was a Baptist because I know Holy Ghost. No, not a whole lot. I did not know that. And I want you to know, I sat up in my room and I dropped to my knees on my bed. I had never heard of anything called the sinner's prayer. I baptized at 12. But I dropped to my knees and I said, if I mean anything to you, if my life has any worth to you at all, I need you to help me. I don't know who you are right now, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is saying, you need to drop to your knees. We don't have to hold hands in church, have you stand up and turn your head around, and you may not make it to church. But let me tell you something. I dropped to my knees. I remember that day as much as if it was yesterday. They were putting us out of our house. I mean, we had nothing. I had three kids, and my husband couldn't find work. And I said, but if I mean anything, I realized I didn't live right before you. I realized there was a whole lot of things I did wrong. But if I mean anything, I don't know who you are because you have me to say that. If I mean anything to you, help me. I didn't even know about saving because in that old church girl, I thought I was saved. And let me tell you what happened. The house got a holy hush on it. It got real still. And all of a sudden, I see this man walking in the door. And he started walking, and he walked in my bedroom. Hallelujah. And he touched my shoulder, and he said, your debt is paid. Now, when you're losing everything, honey, to hear those words, and I want you to know God is a good God. He's a sugar pie Jesus. I'm telling you. And he walked in, and when he finished, it was like somebody snapped bands off my head. And I felt like chains were falling off of me. One preacher, one sermon, nothing. And the chains were falling off of me. And do you know the first thing I heard? Birds singing. Do you know I didn't realize I was so bound, I never heard birds sing. I realized I had three, four birds out there. And he said, your debt is paid, and you are now free. My life turned around from that moment on. And I want you to know, they told me you got to get out your house. And they were, you know, back then it took a little time. I don't know why. God, maybe I bet God. And they wouldn't take our money because they wanted us out of that house. And you know what we did? Every paycheck, we bought a money order for the mortgage, and we just kept it. Every paycheck. And you know what we gave them? We gave them 10 money orders. They wouldn't take it, but we say that. I said, we're going to have one or two things. Either they're going to take this mortgage, or we're going to have enough money to get someplace else. And they did. And then, you know what they did? They wrote us a beautiful letter and said, thank you very much. Clearly, you are committed because we sent that. And they looked at the dates. Every time we got a little piece of check, we paid it till we paid that thing up. But I wouldn't have had the wisdom to do that had God not broken those shackles off my mind and those shackles off my brain. And all I said was, if I mean anything to you, I don't know you like I should. I don't know you at all. I sang about you, don't even know you. And after that, my life changed. A year later, he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, for a good time after that, that's why I know people meet the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, I can tell you a joke. You all want to hear a little joke. It's just funny. So I get this wonderful move of God. It's great. And I mean, I still don't know God like I should, but I know that he's my Savior. And I mean, I was being drawn into the cult. I had friends who were witches. They were trying to get me classes and carrying on. And even though, now let me tell you something, when you call to God, you can't get in that stuff. So I'm sitting there, I'm telling them in the cult, I do the astrology things, I do the whole other stuff, all that stuff. But honey, when they tried to convert me, I was like, no, I'm a Christian. Maybe I wasn't a Christian, but you know what? I was a Christian in the making, and God had me in holding until he could break those chains off of me. After that, I couldn't stomach any of it. I was done with it. And so then I not long after that, I got an amazing job, and the pay was astounding. I'm telling you, the man was amazing. So I'm driving my car, and he keeps saying, baptized. Now, this is really funny. So I said, baptized, yeah, baptized. I said, but I was baptized at 12 years, but you need to be baptized. Now, first of all, I don't even know God talk, but I knew it was God. I went to ponds and lakes trying to figure out how I was baptized myself because I wasn't in church. So I'm sitting on the side. I said, but if I get in there, the people are going to think I'm crazy dipping in this water. But I was so glad for how he saved me. I was just trying to do it. And again, I didn't even know a church because I didn't know any other churches that would accept that. And they'd already, the church I was in ridiculed all of this. I was certainly not going to tell them I had a moment with Jesus. Who's going to let you, you know, a lot of y'all can't tell because y'all in the church where somebody have apostatized and turned away from the man, and now he's a joke. And so you're not going to go there. So I went around 6 months trying to figure out how to baptize myself in a shower and tub. In somebody's pond. I went to the apartment building and whatnot, trying, because he wouldn't stop. You need to be baptized. And it wasn't until November of 1982 that I understood he meant you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, because I was so deep in spiritual things, I needed a higher power to keep me from going back again. And I want you to know, that man did that thing. And he did it in October 1982. He did it. And in November 1982, he called me to ministry. And I'm telling you this because whoever you are, and I know it's somebody, and if you're not on now, you will. Your friend is going to send this to you. I'm telling you, this is not just if you die tomorrow, die tonight, will you go to heaven? Because, frankly, that means little to you if you don't die for 30 years. But, baby, 15 years of hell, we can all relate to that. And see, before God saved me in 1981, he had come for me. And I told him, no, thank you. And I said I wasn't ready because I had to play a little bit. And I want you to know, he never said a word. My life went through a tailspin. When I tell you everything that could go wrong went wrong with me, my life, my kids, whatever. And I didn't know that God was calling me to salvation to stave off the satanic onslaught that was chasing me. So I didn't know that. So I don't know who you are, and I won't say that all of you all are gone because some of you is addiction. Somebody cannot let that wine go, and you know you think you can drink that nice little glass of wine, but every time you turn around, you done empty the bottle, and you don't remember what happened. I know the other person, you who are snorting something. I see you right now snorting, talking about, I don't know if I'll ever get over this. I'm telling you, I was on all that stuff, and Jesus Christ delivered me, and he delivered me all by himself. And then let me know I did it. So I don't do this a lot. I don't know if we'll do it again. I don't know when. But I'm telling you this. Somebody, God says, if you miss this window, you will go through the ordeal you are praying about and asking him to help you with 15 more years. And don't ask trust me, don't ask like you didn't hear him. Don't go away and start talking, I didn't know that's what he meant. I gave you my testimony. I'm telling you, God told me, he came for me. I told him I was not ready. I hadn't played enough. I hadn't partied enough. And you know, the last thing I had between those 2 years, it was more than 2 years. It was like, I don't know, maybe 12 years. The last thing I had was a party. And I'm talking about sickness, near-death experiences, you name it, I had it. And so for you all, sometimes God is calling you to salvation so that he can be the higher authority in your life to stave off the powers of darkness and the atrocities that are trying to take you out before God can bring you into him. Does that help anybody? Are any of y'all following me? So you need to say, just drop to your knees right now, and you just need to say, Jesus, I know you're God. I know you're the Son of God. I know you died for my sins, and I know that you are the God who saved the souls. And I'm asking you to receive me as your family, to enter me and become the guard of my life. Because some of you all, your life is naked. You have nobody guarding your life. But when you get saved, even if you don't, it could take you a while. It took me a while to get rid of a lot of things. Well, not so much, because he took everything from me in one night. But sometimes it takes you a while, but you at least need to be in his family and be at his table so that he has a right to intervene. There, many people are angry with God now, and they never thought, you never gave God the authority to intervene in your life beyond sovereignty. God will intervene sovereignly when it affects what he's doing and what he has planned. But he will not be an everyday help in your life if he has no authority to be. So you need to choose your God, and you need to authorize him to cover your issues and cover your life. Anyway, I haven't done roll call, so do I have a roll call? You know, I kind of got off tonight, Prophet.
Oh, but you were still on.
Roll call, who's out there?
Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Portland. Hi, guys.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow, we got Milwaukee again. I love it.
Houston, Texas.
Yes, right next door.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, one of my favorite places.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Hi, New Orleans. Glad you joined me tonight.
Jacksonville.
Jackson. Family.
Omaha.
Oh, Omaha. I love it.
Indianapolis.
Hello, Indianapolis.
New York.
New York, hometown.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. My, you know, Atlanta just stays with me. You know, I think I wear a piece of Atlanta, you know.
Detroit.
Hi, Detroit. How are you doing?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Glad you came aboard tonight. You're going to get blessed.
Cypress and Houston, Texas.
Cypress. Oh, we have some more Texas. Okay, Cypress and Houston.
Kentucky.
Thank you. Hey, are you the Kentucky that I was just sit down with? Because, you know, we had a whole Kentucky crew there with us in Joliet. Hallelujah.
El Paso, Texas.
Hi, El Paso. Glad to hear you.
Hartsville, South Carolina.
Oh, Hartsville. Oh, that's a nice name. I like it.
Plano, Illinois.
Hi, Plano. Yes.
London.
Hey, you know what? Now, see, London, I'm going to bless you because, see, I know you guys are 6 hours ahead. Holly, so I'm just going to bless you for tuning in to me. And I ask God to visit you with special strength and special anointing for pressing through with the time zone. I have sensitivity to the time zones.
Okay, my turn. Hi. San Antonio.
Hey.
New Jersey.
Hi, Jersey.
I know Joliet's in the house. I saw their comments. The link that you said, Florida. Augusta, Georgia.
Yes.
Memphis, Tennessee. San Antonio, Tejas. Arkansas. Let me see. Maryland, Georgia again. Stratford. Louisville, Texas.
Where's Stratford? We don't know.
Yeah, I think I only
have
five. They said it, but I don't think I
wrote it. Well, they'll say it again because they're not going to let you get the name.
No. Long Beach, California. Rochester, New York. It's in the
house. Hi, Rochester. We are family in Rochester.
Florida,
yes.
Over here.
Yes, my family, Rochester, Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Memphis, and of course Jersey, and I don't know where else. I probably have elsewhere, I don't know. Massachusetts, how could I miss that? Hi, glad you all joined us. Well, we took up a good little time to get somebody who should be in the family in the family.
Shepherd is in Texas.
Okay. Thank you, Portia. And then I'm going to let you get away from it. Welcome, Stratford, Texas. I love it. I love it. Do you know, Ashley, we talk about this. You all are so much fun.
Yes.
We love your comments. We love your feedback. You, when you're involved, you're animated. It's so jovial. It's wonderful. We absolutely love it. I do feel that we're family. We have somebody else in there.
Oh, you have Monroe, Connecticut.
Hey, Connecticut. Yay.
Pittsburgh.
There's your home. There you go, Ashley.
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Ooh, what? Man, that's not far. Hallelujah.
Lithonia, Georgia.
Lithonia. Now, that's a new one.
Tulsa wants you to shout them out.
Hey, Tulsa. Hey, we're neighbors. Are you kidding me? We are neighbors, Tulsa. And I don't blame you because that's where I'm from right now. I am speaking to you now from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, let's talk. We've been talking about what the Holy Spirit brought to the planet. And I'd like to cover that because tonight I want to separate in your mind the kingdom of heaven from the kingdom of God. I've said to you before, first of all, I'm proud of you all because, you know, some of you all have inboxed me and some of you all have said, you know, this is challenging and it's stretching, but I'm staying with it. Apostolic Christians are perseverant. I'm telling you, they're persistent people. They don't stop. They can't stop because the dimension of God that's opening up in them, mushrooming in them, just won't go silent. Once you open God's voice to your soul, you have to force him to shut up because he brought you on his channel. So all of that information and that stream is always going. So sometimes I know you have to press. That's why we record it. Listen to it again and again and again. The first time you listen to it, it's just breaking rock. It's just, can we just crack a few things, okay? Second time, it starts to move the surface and go beneath the surface. By the time you get to the third time, it's starting to bore into your understanding, bore into your brain. When you hit the fourth time, we're talking about now, it's saturating you. And then it's inseminating. And then after it inseminates, oh, my God, it then absorbs you. It takes a while. You know, and don't let anybody tell you that you're supposed to hear something like this the first time. Now, why is it so difficult, Dr. Price? Why do you say that? Because what we're saying has to fight your old anointing, the anointing of all the speakers that you have heard. Everybody has one. It has to fight the anointing of your training, your spiritual induction and promotion and indoctrination. So there's a whole lot of excavating. I always tell people it's an excavating, and then it goes from excavating to saturating, from saturating to indoctrinating. And when you get that way, that means that God makes sense. See, right now, God makes sense to your spirit. And then as you stay with us, and many of you have, he began to make sense to your soul. And ultimately, the goal is to have him make sense to your intellect so that that's when you can defend him. That's when it's a shield and a defense. Oh, is that good or what? So I want to read this, and then we'll go. This is page 70 in your book, ABCs of Apostleship, Book 2, Discipling Apostolic Christian. You go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com. Get your copy of it, download it, order it, hard copy. But by all means, get your copy, because part of what's going to help make what I teach every week make sense is you get this book. Now, if you're an apostle, if you're an apostolic leader, if you're a prophet, and a prophetic leader or teacher, hey, walk your people through this. These are the two founding offices of the kingdom of God on earth. Somebody hear me. I'm in God again. I'm blessing myself. I'm blessing myself because these are the two. You keep saying, I hear people right now, what's the big deal? You know, what's the big deal about apostles? What's the big deal about prophets? Because the prophets are the founders of God's kingdom on the earth. The prophets are sure that God's voice is never cut off. Sometimes they have to write it. Sometimes they have to sing it. Sometimes they have to act it out there. Sometimes they have to kind of roll it in the door and run. But come on. Hallelujah. Prophets are God's founders. They are the establishment of God's kingdom on the earth. And then the apostles are the establishment of God's eternal sovereignty and his eternal realm in the world. So one is in the small world. Apostles come when the world has now been populated. And so the big deal is those are the two mantles, hallelujah, that literally establish who God is and keep him connected with his creation. So you can say, well, you know, my pastor has a word. Your pastor probably does have a word. But Revelation started with apostles and prophets. And it was our job to hand that word down. You know, when Moses gave the word to Israel, that was the word that they stayed on, kept on moving. And everything wrapped around that word, that anchor, that law, the law of Moses, his Levitical priesthood, his kingly order, his divine order, the theocratic governance that he instituted. And that's what happened until Jesus came and finished that. I didn't say he eliminated it. I said he finished it, and he packed it up, and he migrated it over to the Holy Ghost, who took it global. Remember, the Holy Spirit is how God's everywhere present at once. Jesus is how God travels from place to place. Isn't that nice to know? Yay. Okay, many Christians, Jesus is kingship and kingdom. Many Christians cannot appreciate apostles because they do not know why and how the Lord uses them. A significant degree of the arguments against them has to do with their worth to the body of Christ and their value to his faith walk on earth. Now, this is important. Due to their absence from mainstream Christian ministry, believers question apostles' usefulness to their spiritual life and growth. Being devoid of their impartations for ages, many believers cannot fathom why they need apostles, and most actually fear them. What God's family does not realize is that the breath of hallowedness needed to live in God's world and the power to thrive in his kingdom here came to apostles first. Moses' law taught them how to have long life. Jesus, the apostle of our profession, brought eternal life. And that is the difference. Moses' law was to help the flesh live long on earth. The apostles was how to live forever in God's eternal world. That's important for you to know that. Okay. Let me go back. It came to apostles first. These are two of the main reasons Jesus told them to be endued with power from on high. Transformed apostles are innately furnished by God with the answers to eternal life and the dunamis to impart eternity's virtue and strength in their followers. Now, I don't know about you, but that was good. That was good because that's what you are getting. When you're with an apostle, eternity is real. It's not a distant imagination. It is a real right now living thing. As a matter of fact, when apostles have come into their place in God and they wrap their head around who Jesus is as the sovereign, almighty, then eternity in the now becomes the norm, which is why the barrier breaks, and it's also why we stir up resistance. So we already talked to you. Let's go to the screen. We've already talked about what the Holy Spirit brought to the planet. We've discussed that a little bit. And so I want to go into, let me go here. I want to go into the Holy Spirit brought it all. God's Spirit transported the fullness of his earthly commonwealth or his heavenly commonwealth to earth. That's even a better way of saying it, his heavenly commonwealth to earth. The Holy Spirit brought God's citizens. He brought God's kingdoms. He brought God's cities. He also brought God's powers, God's agents and agencies, God's provisions and providences, his supply. It's in this book when you're teaching it. All right. Now, moving to the next one, the kingship of Jesus Christ and his kingdom also came to earth. We are aware that the Holy Spirit brought the gifts of the Spirit, the new creation and redemption to earth. What is not so apparent is what these actually mean, especially in light of what the Lord Jesus taught. The Lord's kingdom came to earth on the first Pentecost. The kingdom may be all most ministers preach, but the kingship is what gives it its substance. I want to address that in a moment. Without the kingship of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are hollow to us. They're just hollow terms. Many of you walk around today preaching the kingdom. Hollow. You're like, what? Right? And you're using the term, you're bandying it about and discussing it, but really you don't understand what God is talking about. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is coming to the planet. So let's look at this. All right, understanding apostleship. You cannot appreciate kingship, kingdom, anything without apostleship, because apostleship is literally the messengers, the agents, the ambassadors of a king, to be honest with you. A woman asked me recently about what apostles are, and I want to give you a quick answer. I'm moving on, so we're moving. The quick answer is think of apostles as eternal spiritual ambassadors. Now, if you study ambassadorship, and some of you all know this, you know your diplomacy, your ambassadorship, if you study it, you definitely understand what it means that it came from heaven to earth. One day, when I train apostles, we have a whole class on that. All right, so understanding predestination starts with what? God's word and apostleship, apostles' doctrine. We don't really get that yet, apostles' doctrine, because in our mind, you know, everybody has various doctrines, but every doctrine that God approved began with apostles' doctrine. Oh, I'm so good. You know, I'm just, you know, that's exciting. You know why? Because I'm filling in the blanks for you all. I'm giving you the answers to things that are just like them so obscure and so spotted. That spotty doctrine is what's causing us to fall, but it's also causing us to fight. You know, you realize that when God gives apostles, particularly those he commissions directly, because there are some apostles commissioned by other apostles, and then there are some apostles who are commissioned by churches. See, so we have those three things. Now, Dr. Price, where's that in Scripture? Let's talk about that because, you know, I do have an answer. Jesus chose 12 apostles. Before you say you don't need to know this, you're a Christian, and all Christians begin their lives apostolic because this, your new birth is based on apostles' doctrine. Okay? The new birth, you must be born again. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, you must receive the Holy Ghost. You must be sanctified by the Spirit. You are the offspring of the Godhead. You are partakers of the divine nature. All of that began with apostles, not the pastors, not the evangelists, not the missionaries, not the teachers. It began with apostles. It was prophesied by prophets. That's why prophets must learn the Bible, because it was prophets that prophesied Jesus into the planet. A body that has prepared for me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book that it is written of me. Prophets gave that word. All right? So you need to recognize that apostles' doctrine is how you got born again, if indeed you're born again. And if you're not born again and you're just on the rolls of the church, well, I hope tonight we fix that. So you need to understand apostleship because you need to recognize what is apostles' doctrine and what is church doctrine. Because there's a lot of church theology that is totally at odds with apostles' doctrine. I said to someone recently when he was saying, you know, I've learned all there is as far as the history of the church. I said, that's great, but do you know the history of God? Because, see, church history has usurped God's history and thus Christ's purpose and destiny. Now, I'm not against church history. We need to understand that. But it's the same thing here. You still have to know your God. Those who know their God, not their church history. Not their theology. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. So you were born again by apostles' doctrine. It was the apostles that Jesus sent out to preach this gospel of the kingdom to all nations. Over and over again. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Don't take my word for it. Just look it up. Look at how many times he said that. The kingdom outnumbers every other objective. But the problem is we've just kind of squeeze it all together as one statement, the kingdom. No, there's the kingdom of heaven, and then there's the kingdom of God. Now, if you have my book, some of you bought it, because I noticed that the orders have been coming in. If you have my book before the garden, I list all of the types of references to how the kingdom works in my book. Before the garden, I was looking for a page. Now I lost the page. But anyway, get your copy of it. But the kingdom of God is what it is. If you don't understand the kingdom, you will never, ever understand Christianity. Because Christianity was born to a kingdom. It was not born to a church. It was born as the church that belonged to a kingdom. And it was born by the nativity of a king. So you are literally, a Christian is a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. And you are a citizen because your new birth birthed you, begot you again into the kingdom of God and Christ by giving you their divine nature. Remember, we're born from the Godhead's gene pool. See, that's what you need to know, and that's what Apostles' Doctrine is going to talk about, you being born from the Godhead's gene pool. I've sat around and listened to preachers preach and said, y'all just act like Christianity makes you walk on water. Well, we're supposed to walk on water. We just haven't had those classes yet. But we can walk on water because Jesus didn't walk on water as the Sovereign Almighty. He walked on water as God become flesh, as God become human. All right? So we can do that. If we want to believe God for it, we can do it. But that's just petty. I mean, you know, that's kind of like, you know, that's fine. But what we want to do, he said, was know that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when you are born again, your spirit, your literal spirit that you got from your daddy and his God is kicked out. And the Godhead spirit comes in you, which is how you become a partaker of the divine nature. Now, some of you all are academicians. Some of you all are highly talented teachers. I have a couple of award-winning teachers even listening to me. You know what it is for something to say you have something's nature. You know that. You know what it means, and you know what it implies. And so we are partakers of God's divine nature. Well, what is nature coming from? What is native to that being? And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. I always teach, if you ever want to understand the Holy Spirit, I teach this. We were just talking about it before the show. The Holy Spirit is God's skin. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's God's skin. He covers the earth. He covers God everywhere he is. And the Holy Spirit is how God is everywhere present at once. I told you Jesus is God's portable self. He's how God shows up here, there, and everywhere. See, but those who know their God, see, the reason God and I got along because I made it my business to know him. I made it my business to care about knowing him. I wanted to know how he is. I wanted to know how he's built. I wanted to know how he's made. I wanted to know his thoughts. I wanted to know what made him happy and what made him sad. I wanted to know why he did what he did. I wanted to know how he lives. I tell him all the time, I want to know how you live. I made God my priority. Now, that's me. That's not an indictment against anyone. It's not a criticism. I'm telling you, I made him number one for real. He wasn't number one on Sundays. He was never the number one when I had some pastime. God wasn't my pastime. That's why I can call him sugar, because I'm not looking for my time with him to pass. But he's not my pastime. God is my all the time. All the time. And I'm telling you, you can write these people who are in my ministry, who've been with me, they will tell you this. Cute, not cute. Makeup on, makeup off. Looking good, looking bad, feeling good, feeling bad. God is my all in all for real. I don't think about doing these. I said to him, coming home on the plane, I was like, Jesus, you know, you occupy all my thoughts. He said, that's how it should be. And then told me, and I will never let you go. I said, well, good, because I'm not trying to go anywhere. So we do agree. I don't find God too heavy. I don't find God too restrictive and too difficult. I find him a sugar. He's my honey. And I think if I'm going to be filled with all the fullness of God, my life ought to be special. And it is. And it is. And when it isn't, I talk to him about it. And we talk about everything. Because you know why God and I talk about everything? Because I don't assume he misses anything. That's a Selah. Was that a Selah? Did I get any? Come on. See, I don't treat God like he's a hit or miss. I don't assume he misses anything, so I don't hide stuff from him. I don't act like he didn't see what I did, what I said, what I thought, and I don't act like he didn't see it long before the foundation of the world. I already know God has been in my business before I was. See, God owns your business. You don't have a private life. You have an earthly life, and you have an eternal God. God's all in your business because he owns your business. And before it was your business, it was whoever used your flesh business. So I don't treat him like that. So I think God is powerful. I know he's powerful. I've watched him. And I also think he's just the sweetest thing. And I tell him, I said, just a lovely man. He's just lovely. And I thank God for that. And I thank him for that relationship. But it didn't come overnight. And it didn't come without a price. Because God can't change, which means every day that you want to be with him, you got to change. God's got a new change program every morning. You know what those mercies that are new is are changing you. His mercies are new every morning, and you change. His mercies are new every morning, and you change some more. And most people get tired of the change, so they get tired of God. I didn't. I found God a challenge, and I told him, I said, you are my quest. And as surely as you live, I'm going to know you. And I told him, and I'm not only going to know you, I'm going to own you because you are too wonderful. I am going to own you. And you know what? I thought he was just going to say, you know what? I expected that. But he said, like, well, okay, do it. And he's just, you know, one, two, three. That's how he is. So that's who you, that's the nature of the Godhead. You are born again by the genetics, the literal gene of the Godhead. The gene pool he hid from everybody in Christ. Oh, come on, people. Are they getting me? Are you all wrong with me? Because this is, you know, I'm getting fired up again. Y'all know how I am when I get fired up. Because the truth shall make you free. I'm free because of the truth. I know about the Lord who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have no problem with Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to fire him. And I've been finding out as I travel around, a lot of people have no problem with Jesus Christ. More people than we imagine have no problem with Jesus Christ. There are a lot more people loving on this man and trying to keep him as God and Lord in this land and every other than there are against him right now. Remember, only a third of the angels left. Oh, wasn't that good? Only a third. So God literally sacrificed a third to keep two-thirds of the best of his civilization. Now, we don't even know what those numbers are. So, moving along, apostles' doctrine. So I want you to know, I'm going to make this big for you so you can read it and I can read it. All right? The apostles' doctrine, which is important for you to get. And I'm telling you, I thank God for it. Let me see if I did it right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to get it right. I got to get the right way. Can you see it, Prophet Ashley?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. So there are four things apostles' doctrine will do. Number one, it'll make you want to find the saints instead of flee them. Right now, everybody is very proud of themselves for being able to be more tolerant to non-Christians than Christians. They're very proud of themselves. You can find all of this tolerance for the folks who hate your God and for the folks who hate him, not because they chose to, but they were born to, which is why you must be born again. You are very proud of yourself that you are non-Christian at work and non-Christian on your and with your friends and your family, non-Christian. Half of you all go to family reunions and really are embarrassed to let anybody know you're saved because all the folks who are unsaved, cussing, drinking, acting, cutting up, have more glory and more regard than you who are living holy. I think we ought to make holiness vogue again. We need to bring it in vogue again. That's just me. You know? And so... But I'm telling you, when you have an understanding of God, you are not trying to dodge Christians, not real ones. The name of Jesus doesn't get on your nerves. You can tell when you're under demonic influence because Jesus' name irritates you. It scratches you on the inside here. That's when you need to get the prayer and look for somebody to cast out a few things, or you need to cast off a few things. Because sometimes that's your only warning. After that, you become comfortable. Every time I turn around, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every time I turn around, it's S-U, S-H, this, and D-A-U. Y'all cuss me out all the time, and we can't say Jesus? Oh, no, please. When they cuss, I say Jesus. You call on your God, I'm calling on my God. So please. So every time you say S something, I'm going to say Jesus. And we can just have a tennis match. Jesus. 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 I can have a song. By the time it's all over, I'll be singing. Because we're calling on our gods, aren't we? Aren't we calling on our gods? You're calling on the sex god, and I'm calling on the god of gods. You're calling on the abuse god, I'm calling on the god of gods. You're calling on the messy god, I'm calling on the Messiah. You see, it works out really well. But you've got to know your God. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. You have to understand why a cuss word is a cuss word. What God will, God, you can't hurt him. His feelings don't get hurt. Why does God have a problem with it? Why does God have a problem with fornication? See, I asked God the questions. I didn't criticize him. I inquired of him. And I asked him, so God, what is your problem with that? I mean, come on, you made it. You know, we like to just stop it. You made it, so. No, what is your problem? And because I asked God the right questions, he gave me his best answers. Oh, come on. Some of you all don't get answers because you're not asking God the right questions. You're asking God to close his eyes, turn his head, forgive you, and to bring you back in the fold after you had your fun. I didn't. I wanted to know what it was God's issue. What's the deal, Lord? What is your deal with adultery? What is your deal with divorce? But you sat there and listened to people who ridiculed him, who mocked him and scorned him like they did when he was in the flesh. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. But I didn't. I wanted to know what God's issues were. And I still do. I do not assume. I really don't. I do not assume that God is so outdated he doesn't understand. God made everything. If he made it all, why did he choose some things to curse and some things to bless? Why are some things bringing me closer to him and other things pushing me farther away? I don't recoil from God. I think he's a sweetie. And so I don't recoil from him. I think he's my honey man. And I'm going to tell him all day long, you be the great I am. Sometimes I have to do that. I call him my honey man. My honey man is great I am. Then I write a song. Then I sing it. Hallelujah. Okay, so here, but this is for the mature. What did he say? Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. However, when you are among mature people, excuse me. However, when we are among mature people, we do speak a message of wisdom, but not the wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world who are passing off the scene. Instead, we speak about God's wisdom in a hidden secret, which God destined before the world began for our glory. None of the rulers of this world understand it, because if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, is that good or is that good? See, now, because of how I've been teaching, that makes sense to you, doesn't it? That makes a lot more sense. So the first thing you need to know is apostles will mature you. We have an immature church. That's why. Apostles will mature you. They will also make you understand God's wisdom. The one thing that marks an apostle's sheep is wisdom. Not just the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the eternal world, the wisdom that God already destined for us before the world began. So what is that? The wisdom of God's world. And so, God, if you're going to be under an apostle's ministry, like you're crying, I want to grow up. I just feel like it's more than me to know. I just feel like it's just so immature, because you need an apostle in your life. You need one of the real apostles. I don't mean the ones that are just migrated over because it was a fad. I don't mean the ones that just had a wonderful time at somebody's conference and now I'm an apostle. I'm talking about the tried and true, those that have been through. Because, see, you cannot be a quality apostle if you've not been through. Because if you haven't been through what you want to help people come through, then guess what? You are just going to be a nice little EMT, little orderly, little porter, but you cannot be a therapist. You can't be a healer. Because God releases those powers as you prove yourself worthy. Now, he may do a whole lot of physical healing, but the real powers of the kingdom, what he said about Paul, but God wrought unusual miracles, and one translation said proprietary miracles with Paul. Proprietary. There is a treasure trove of proprietary miracles that are the property of God himself, that are proprietary to heaven and eternal things that not everybody taps into. So, yeah, you might lay hands on people and they fall on the floor and get up and go on out and get drunk. But when an apostle lay hands on them, and that is a real apostle, they get up, they fall on the floor and get up and can't stand booze again. You might lay hands on people and they go ahead and walk out crying, sniffing and snotting, and still continue doing what they did, now with guilt. But when God's real, when those proprietary miracles are imparted, that thing comes out of your soul. Because apostles are soul healers. They deliver your soul. They don't just deliver your behavior. They don't just deliver your moment. They deliver your soul. Oh, is that good or not? And then the next thing he said, there's a little clue here. He said, nor are the rulers of this world who are passing off the scene. What was he talking about? He said, now is the God of this world cast out. Systematically, God has used his church to transform the world, to eliminate the rulers of darkness, hallelujah, and to put the rulers of light in their place. And he did that through his church. So what I hear me, people, because I'm going to say something very powerful as I close up tonight. So why is that a big deal? Let me tell you why. Because it's the church that determines who's in power. If the wicked's in power, it's because the church put them there. Because the highest institution in creation since Jesus Christ rose from the dead is the new creation church, the spirit-filled church of God Almighty. And when this church comes together, I got you, Betty. When this church comes together and we begin to think as one and move as one, etc., trust me. There's nothing hell can do about it. Nothing. Because remember, it's the Christian church that took the planet and made the world monotheistic when polytheistic was the order of the day. That's the rulers of this world who are being cast off the scene, who are passed off the scene. That's what he's talking about. I can't push it any longer. I love you dearly. We're going to come back with Prophetic Ed on Thursday night and the Paula Price Show on Thursday morning. Make sure you join me. Go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com, and get some materials. And if you want to set up an advisement, do that as well. And if you want to sow a seed, drpaulaaprice.com. I love you all dearly, and trust me, I do carry you in my soul, and I do pray for you, because I know once we are all strong together, we are going to be one formidable, invincible force. Until Thursday, good night, and God bless you.